presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I joked on video at one point in time this week, and I believe it was video only, but what I joked about was that I reckon that Demetrius Robertson, the receiver that transferred about a year or so ago from Cal, is the hill upon which I'm going to die, because I spent a good bit of the last offseason, especially the summertime, writing and talking at DogNation.com or Dog Nation Daily about how I thought that Demetrius Robertson had a chance to be a real breakout player for Georgia last season. Now, ultimately, that ended up not happening, but Robertson's still here, and I haven't really changed my opinion. I still think, and maybe this is stubbornness or maybe this is just commitment to principle. You can decide for yourself what it is. But I still think that Demetrius Robertson has a chance to be a big-time player for UGA. And like a lot of people who've been backed into in a corner about an opinion, I'm going to look for any piece of evidence to support my point of view. I'm going to look for anything that might validate why I might be right about this. So take all of this, I guess, with a grain of salt. I'm going to probably make way too much out of way too little. But nonetheless, this is to me, a kind of a feel-good story here for a Dog Nation Daily on a Friday. Our friends over at Bleacher Report have listed the top 10 fastest players in all of college football. And oh yeah, by the way, let's not forget about Demetrius Robertson, because Robertson still shows up on this list. Now, let me give you some of the data here. One of the things that Bleacher Report cites is a piece written by Chase Goodbread from NFL.com. Now, you may remember Chase, if you're a sort of a Dog Nation Daily regular, Chase is a sometimes appearing guest here in our program. He covers college football with kind of a concentration in the SEC for the NFL.com. So his thing is, let's watch college football from the vantage point of who might go on to have a big NFL career. And sometimes when it comes to draft stuff and things like that, we have Chase on the program. Well, Chase, a couple of years ago, back when D-Rob was still a Cal, gave you some numbers about just how fast Robertson really is. Let me cite a couple of these right now. That Robertson ran a 4.34 40-yard dash. I'm assuming that's a laser time deal. That's a legit thing. And we know this is legit. He posted a 10.77 time in the 100-meter dash. That's April of 2017, and basically is a legit college-level track star. So those numbers speak for themselves. 4.34 in the 40, 10.77 in the 100. That's still the speed that Demetrius Robertson has at Georgia, and it's one of the reasons why I am still very high on the likelihood that Demetrius Robertson could become a big-time wide receiver at UGA. In fact, in the Bleacher Report piece on Robertson and his speed, the writer Ian Wharton kind of laid out the real scenario facing both Robertson and Georgia as it looks for a breakout wide receiver. Ian Wharton's the writer, and he says, "The Bulldogs have struggled when trying to open up the offense in big games in recent years, despite having skilled receivers. Robertson and Jeremiah Holloman give quarterback Jake Fromm one of the fastest duos in the country. He'll have to take full advantage for the Bulldogs to win the national championship." Now, I'm going to give a little bit of credit here to the writer, because I do think that although I'm not all that well-versed with who Ian Wharton is, I do think he cuts to the chase of what the real issue is. Part of me saying I think that Demetrius Robertson has a chance to be a breakout receiver at Georgia and have a big-time performance and a big-time, final season in a UGA uniform, the unspoken part of that discussion is, we'll all agree on this, Georgia really needs for that to be somebody. I have laid it out many times before that if Georgia's going to break through and win the national championship, I think a wide receiver emerging at a way and a level in which a wide receiver previously hasn't emerged in the Kirby Smart era, I just think that's a necessity. And Wharton, the writer's right. It's not that Georgia hasn't been talented at the receiver position. We may see as soon as this spring three guys off last year's team, Godwin and Hardman and Riley Ridley. We may see all three of those guys go on to be on NFL rosters this upcoming fall. That's three receivers from one team. So you can't say that Georgia hasn't had some talent at the receiver position. Javon Wims had a terrific year in 2017. He plays for the Bears now. So you've had some talent when it comes to Georgia, the wide receiver position, but in terms of that real breakout performance, getting close to that 900-yard, 1,000-yard barrier, a land of performance that seems a long way away for the Georgia receivers, That really hasn't happened yet. And I think if Georgia's going to break through in 2019, I think it needs to happen. And as I said before, I do think that Demetrius Robertson has a chance to do that. Of course, we all kind of felt this way a year ago. And Kirby Smart, to his credit, he talked then about what Robertson brings to the table. First of all, Kirby is very well aware of what Chase Goodbread from NFL.com and Ian Wharton from the Bleacher Report are all citing, the incredible speed that Robertson brings to the table. And Kirby knew that was going to be an asset, but he also knew that Robertson was facing a little bit of a challenge. Here's what Kirby said about Robertson last summer when he came into the fold. Take a listen to this.
He's a good wideout. I mean, he was a kid in high school that was a track guy. I remember he ran a lot of races against Nate McBride and Meeko, and that's how I recruited those guys. They were always kind of at the same track meets, kind of around the same area, and they were always there. So he's got good speed. He's bright. He's picked the offense up, but we just kind of let him go out there and play, and he's naturally picked things up really well. But, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, there's a lot of competition in that receiver room. I mean, I know y'all got the five-star syndrome. There's a lot of guys out there that weren't five stars that are competing every day. And I'm proud of the way Demetrius has competed. But there's guys out there, Jason Stanley and Tyler Simmons, to me, those two guys have worked their tail off. They were dominant special teams players last year. This year, they've really been good wideouts and special teams players. So there's going to be good competition in that room.
So I think there's a lot to chew on from what Kirby Smart said there about Demetrius Robertson going back to last summer. First of all, he says, hey, Robertson's a good wideout, but y'all, don't go crazy on assuming that the five-star is going to dominate this competition. And obviously I do, as Kirby Smart says, kind of have a little bit of that five-star syndrome sometimes of who was the most impressive athlete in high school, who's got the most famous name. That's the one that I have a tendency to assume is going to win a competition like this. That's not always true. Kirby references a couple guys there like Jason Stanley and Tyler Simmons. Now, last year, players like that did just flat out beat out Demetrius Robertson. In the case of Stanley, he's gone, but a guy like Tyler Simmons is still there, and there are also some other, at least in comparison to Demetrius Robertson, somewhat less heralded wide receivers who even in 2019 may be there to outperform Robertson in practice and find their way onto a field in a way that, much the same way last year, guys just happened to pass up Robertson and kind of get over him and get it done. But you can't deny two of the other things that Kirby Smart says there. He talks about the fact that Robertson came in as kind of a smart guy, picking things up pretty quickly. There's no problem with knowing the offense, apparently, based on what Kirby Smart says there. And you can't deny the overall athleticism given the speed numbers that I charted before. Plus, we've also seen this young man catch the ball because he did that to the tune of being a freshman All-American at Cal going back to 2016. The real issue, I think, for Robertson last year, and Kirby Smart also kind of foreshadowed this in that same press conference that you just heard that clip from a moment ago, is that getting acclimated the way that wide receiver play in the SEC looks is just very, very different from the Pac-12, and I do think that was probably a challenge for Robertson a year ago. We may find out more about that this spring, just given how a part of the conversation he ends up being, but that's the assumption that we're largely going to make about all this, which brings somebody else into the forefront of this conversation. Cortez Hankton, the Georgia wide receiver coach, is a guy that when he first got hired, I'll admit, I didn't really know that much about. And for a long time, with Hankton on the Georgia staff, it kind of seemed like that Hankton was just one of these guys that was just less a part of the overall conversation than some of the other bigger name assistants, the Dell McGees, the Sam Pittmans, the Dan Lannings, the Glenn Schumanns, the Trey Scotts. You know who all these people are. There are just a number of Georgia assistants who kind of always seem to be top of mind for Georgia fans. Last year, it didn't really seem like Cortez Hankton was that guy, but you've started to hear Hankton's name mentioned a lot more in recruiting circles as of late. A lot of receivers citing him as the reason why they're either going to Georgia as a part of the class of 2019 or considering Georgia for the class of 2020. All of a sudden, Cortez Hankton is a Georgia receivers coach. All of a sudden, he's got a little bit more of a cachet, maybe, or certainly a more prominent presence on that Georgia roster, which means for Demetrius Robertson in 2019, if you're looking to see Robertson really blossom and grow into, even if it's not quite the starring role that one at one point in time I envisioned for Robertson, just a complimentary role and a guy who's on the field a lot in those three receiver sets for Georgia, getting him ready to do that, getting him used to the physical way in which wide receivers play in the SEC, a lot of that is now going to become the responsibility of Cortez Hankton to get more out of Robertson in year two. Well, back in November, Demetrius Robertson spoke as a part of one of these UGA videos. You know, they put this stuff on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that all the time. And they were talking about a lot of the receivers and kind of how that, you know, receiver core fits together. And Robertson, even in a time in November when he's not playing very much, he seemed to be pretty happy at Georgia. And he really seemed to be looking to Cortez Hankton as his real leader. This is a guy that seems to have a lot of love and respect for his wide receivers coach at UGA, which makes you feel good about the progress that he might show in 2019. In fact, here is Robertson.
I feel like the room is my family. Coach Hankton follows in, and he shows us the way. He's the leader of the room. He shows us the way. He shows us how to be men, how to be good football players. He don't take it lightly on us during practice. He gets on us during practice if we mess up. No matter if we're freshmen or we're senior, we're veteran, he expects us to play at a high standard.
So listen, I told you off the very top of this entire topic. This may just be wishful thinking on my part and trying to will something into existence that's maybe just not going to happen. But that's a pretty positive outlook from Robertson there in November, at a time when he's not playing at all. I mean, at the time of that particular statement, I believe he'd only been targeted with the ball one time all year long. He'd had a carry against Austin Peay, but as far as being thrown the football to, and y'all may correct me on being wrong about this, I believe he'd only been thrown to once all season at the point of that statement. And yet Robertson still felt at home and family-like with this receiving core and still looking towards Cortez Hankton with a lot of trust. I think that Hankton's proven himself to be a pretty good coach. And I think that Hankton may be able to take what Robertson has in spades, which is elite top-end speed, and turn that into a pretty good wide receiver performance for UGA this season. And if that happens, y'all watch out for this Georgia offense. It could be even better in 2019 than it's been thus far in the Kirby Smart era. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us. Live today on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed, radio at noon, of course, with our friends in Athens on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rep, and in podcast form, pretty much wherever podcasts can be found, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Now, keep podcasts in mind, because a little later on, that's going to be a part of our giveaway. You know, we've been doing our Road to Atlanta t-shirt giveaway. The whole point of the Road to Atlanta thing is simply we look forward to seeing that rematch with that team from the West, Alabama, in December. And we're even thinking about the possibility of being back in Atlanta for the Peach Bowl as the number one seed in the college football playoff later on in that month of December heading towards January. So our part in kind of being in solidarity with that idea is the Road to Atlanta t-shirt. We're going to give one away. We'll announce yesterday's winner in a moment and tell you how you can be the winner for Friday. That's coming up later on in the program. Before any of that, though, we got Jeff Sintel coming up in just a moment. We'll talk some UGA recruiting with him. And before we bring on Jeff, I wanted to make sure that you saw something or heard something that you otherwise might have missed. If you'll go back to, it's been almost a little bit more than a week ago now, I was out for a few days, and I even missed an episode of Before the Hedges. That's the weekly recruiting show that we do, presented by Kroger with Jeff Sintel. And on the Before the Hedges that I missed, that I was not a part of a couple of weeks ago, Jeff had a really interesting conversation with Justin Robinson, who's kind of a, you call him an athlete, you can call him a wide receiver. To me, he's a really good-looking prospect for the 2020 class. And if you're watching a video, you can see some of Robinson's film right now. I don't quite know why this is, but I've become pretty fascinated with this young man. He's tall, and he's really athletic, and I just think there's a chance he could play a number of positions, potentially at the college level, maybe even for Georgia. Sounds like he'd like to play wide receiver. I always like the idea of these tall guys who could be receiver, maybe playing defensive back. But from Eagles Landing Christian Academy, that's the school that Robinson goes to, I think he's just kind of an interesting prospect. And I always love it when Jeff, especially this early in the 2020 cycle, allows us to start to get to know some of these young men. So watch the episode of Before the Hedges to see the full interview with Robinson, or just check out Jeff Sintel at DogNation.com, who features young men like this a lot in the recruiting articles that he writes. But I wanted to give you a brief taste of some of what Robinson, the four-star athlete, a 2020 wide receiver, really more of a three-star guy, but what Robinson had to say when he talked to a Dog Nation the other day. This is good stuff, Jeff, with Justin Robinson. Take a listen to this.
What do you like specifically about Georgia?
You know, it's just a feeling, just how you just get a different vibe from them. Like, this the place, you know.
What do they tell you? What do the coaches tell you when they're recruiting you? What are they saying where you're like, oh, they're pitching me right now? What do they say?
You know, they just, they make it feel like it's another home instead of like down here. like I can be up there and they treat me like I'm their son, you know.
Hankton's recruiting you. Who else is recruiting you for the staff?
Kirby.
Kirby, yeah. Huh? What's Kirby's message? What does Coach Smart want you for the defense, or does he say you're a receiver? What does he say?
He wants me as a receiver.
Does he?
Yes, sir.
That means you might be a receiver. Yeah.
Listen, as I said before, Robinson's kind of one of those three-star type guys, so he might not necessarily be on your radar as it stands right now, but I think this is a really good-looking athlete, and it wouldn't surprise me at some point in time if the recruiting services don't reevaluate him a bit, and no matter where he ends up playing his college ball, Georgia or somewhere else, I think this is kind of an interesting name to keep an eye on. So really good stuff from Jeff Sintel. I love the way that he's out in the field getting interviews like this. That's always a lot of fun. And before we bring on Jeff to the program, here on Fridays on Dog Nation Daily, we like to kick off the weekend, and we do that in style, what we call our Kroger kickoff, looking ahead to the big UGA stuff coming up over the course of the weekend. And there are a few UGA sporting events that I want you to pay special attention to this weekend as part of our Kroger kickoff. First of all, the Gym Dogs, after a great, thrilling win at Florida last week, are also on the road this week. They are at LSU tonight, so we'll look forward to the Gym Dogs trying to stay hot there in Baton Rouge against the Tigers. You've got the softball team over the course of the next couple days against Virginia Tech. They've got a Sunday game against a different foe, but the next couple days they'll be hosting Virginia Tech. Diamond Dogs, after the win against Kennesaw State earlier this week, stay in state as well, on the road. Statesboro to take on Georgia Southern. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series for the Diamond Dogs. Men's basketball is at Florida on Saturday. That'll be a tough road game for them, to be sure. And the Lady Dogs, fresh off a win against the lousy, stinking Gators this week, also in action on Sunday against Kentucky. That's how we kick off the weekend around here with our Kroger kickoff on Dog Nation Daily. And by the way, speaking of our friends at Kroger, they've got some great savings for you this weekend. You can save big on snacks and cereals at Kroger all weekend long. I'm talking $1.99 for giant-sized cereals, including Cheerios and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Also, save big on Keebler multi-pack snacks, including Cheez-Its, for just $4.99. You can download the coupon beginning really right now, and then you can redeem it in stores today and tomorrow, March 1st and 2nd. So go to Kroger.com or the Kroger app for more information on that. And we appreciate Kroger delivering the Kroger kickoff to us right here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, fun stuff. We'll do a Road to Atlanta t-shirt giveaway later on. We'll hear from Elijah Holyfield from the NFL Combine. But for now, let's talk UGA recruiting with our buddy Jeff Sintel.
Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
We will say happy Friday to Jeff Sintel. A lot going on with UGA recruiting. There's some visits taking place this weekend. There's some guys who've recently gone on the record about some of their feelings about this and that. We'll try to cover that all with Jeff Sintel. And as I said before, also a couple of interesting pieces from Jeff on the website this week, DogNation.com, from some key sources about how some guys currently on the Georgia roster may be getting ready to break out in a big way. We'll hear all of that from Jeff Sintel over the course of our conversation. But, Jeff, if you don't mind, let me start with something else. Because on Wednesday, this was supposed to be fun, as we've said before. It was just supposed to be kind of a relaxed, easygoing conversation with our Eddies giving out the awards for the top performances, top guys from the 2019 class. But a little bit of a minor controversy erupted. We talked about this on Dog Nation Daily yesterday about really which of these recruits, which of these signees is the quote-unquote most likely to succeed, you know, best NFL future, best overall kind of profile for the long term. And we debated that internally here for a while. It got brought on air. And ultimately, I think we settled on Trayvon Walker being that guy, that if you could give me a portion of what so-and-so is going to make in the NFL in the future, Walker may be the guy whose percentage I might like to grab. We ultimately chose Trayvon over Nolan Smith in a close debate. Are you surprised that a lot of Georgia fans were kind of divided on this between Walker, between Nolan Smith, between N'Kobe Dean, between George Pickens? A lot of names you could go with in terms of which of these guys from the 2019 class does truly have the brightest NFL future?
Yeah, that was interesting. I don't know. A key source on that matter, who I'll keep him anonymous, he really wanted us to make sure we had a fourth grade rec basketball team to it a little bit, and we didn't hand out multiple trophies to multiple Bulldogs.
No. You're not doing No. You're not going to blame this on me. What Jeff is saying here, and I don't mean to cut him off, but before we had our pre-show meeting about the Eddies from Wednesdays Before the Hedges, and I said I thought it would flow better if a different person won every award. It's not about, you know, participation trophies. I just thought it would flow better. But you're making it sound like that you didn't vote for Walker to win, most likely to succeed. But I think even you eventually took Walker over Nolan, didn't you?
Oh, of course I did, man. It's just a way to have fun with you, sir. I mean, you just really wanted to, you didn't want to see multiple Bulldogs getting same honors. You wanted to kind of spread the love a little bit, like the great point guard of Dog Nation that you are. The simple way to couch that matter for me, Brandon, is when you sit there and you think about Trayvon Walker, he's just the most likely guy to get a big NFL contract and to get a second big NFL contract. Why do I say that? He's about 6'5 and a half, almost 6'6", displays vast athleticism in three sports, and he's already 290, 95 pounds. He already looks like a combine guy. Just wait until he puts on 3 years' worth of armor from Sinclair's sweatshop. He's just going to be doing great. He's going to come forward and be a great player for Georgia. And, you know, it's debatable. Is it Nolan? Is it Trayvon? You know, I think it's really, really mostly those two guys about the most likely NFL first round draft pick, most likely NFL top five, top 10, top two draft pick. I went with Trayvon Walker for all those reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'll bring you in on my thought process when it comes to not just for a fun topic like the Eddies from Wednesdays Before the Hedges, but just in general, my feelings comparing the future of Trayvon Walker to the future of Nolan Smith. They both have given you really interesting interviews over the last couple of months. Nolan, you speak to in San Antonio for the All-American Bowl, and he talked about his almost laser focus on wanting to rush the passer. Trayvon Walker from the Touchdown Club of Atlanta Awards Banquet talked about the way that he's trying to get himself in physical condition despite the fact that he's not going to be an early enrollee at Georgia. I think in both of those conversations, there's a lot to like about both those guys and a lot of reasons to start believing they both can be big-time performers at Georgia almost right away. It just so happens, though, I'm standing next to Trayvon Walker when you spoke to him there, and I was not in San Antonio to hear Nolan Smith. Being in that room that night with Trayvon Walker back in January, you know, in the Atlanta area for that Touchdown Club banquet, you really come away, at least I personally came away, extraordinarily impressed with him. You know, I think his dad's got like that military background, and Walker kind of brings some of that to the way that he carries himself. Great posture, a lot of bass in his voice, a lot of focus. He's already in great shape, wants to even be in better shape, and listen, there are a lot of five stars that Georgia brings in. It's easy for anybody to kind of get lost in the shuffle at any point in time. But I really came away in that January night thinking, my gosh, we don't talk enough about Trayvon Walker. This is just an all-world guy. And that's not coming from me at the expense of Nolan Smith, who may be that guy as well. But I was just personally impressed from getting a chance to spend a little one-on-one time with Walker. And that's kind of where my thought process on that kind of comes from.
Well, I think maybe what you said there, and let me kind of be Indiana Jones a little bit and sift through the jewels and maybe pull out the big golden totem here out of everything. And what you kind of touched on there, Brandon, for me is versatility. Nolan Smith, yeah, he could be a number one overall pick. He could very likely be a first-round overall pick. But that's either going to be it as an outside linebacker or maybe an even slightly bigger speed defensive end. That's it. And look at Trayvon Walker. He could be a force, and he could be a pro prospect out on the edge at defensive end or a defensive tackle, maybe even as a true nose guard. So Trayvon Walker has the size. He checks every box there along with the athleticism, and he also looks like he's a future NFL high first-round draft pick grade at multiple premium positions.
There was a really interesting forum post this week about Brian Brzee that I want to get your thoughts on in just a moment. Before we get to that, though, before you joined us, I played a little bit of the audio from your conversation with Justin Robinson, the good-looking athlete from Eagles Landing Christian Academy, a guy that could play wide receiver, maybe able to play defensive back. And, Jeff, one of the things that I said before you joined us is, for whatever reason, even though that he's not of that kind of high five-star caliber, you know, from a recruiting profile right now, he's kind of always been a player that I've been a little impressed with, an athlete that I think could do a lot at the college level, whether it be at Georgia or somewhere else. You've talked to Robinson one-on-one a few times, the video you played as a part of Before the Hedges a week ago. What do you think of Robinson right now, and do you think he fits into Georgia's plans? And if so, is it as a wide receiver, is it as a defensive back?
clearly a wide receiver. He's 6'4", he's already 210, and, you know, we put some Robinson stuff up on Before the Hedges, even before it showed up on the Big Show, in an Intel blog post on the website. That's coming. We've had a lot of stories to get through this week, but Robinson, 6'4", 210, just took a visit to Notre Dame. That's maybe the school that is his father's favorite. Georgia is really heavy after Justin Robinson. I know a lot of people right now are having fun with their mock classes and everything like that that they're putting together for 2020 on the Dog Nation Forum. I think the mock class, I think the well-informed mock class for Georgia right now at wide receiver, maybe three, maybe four targets for 2020, probably needs to include the name Justin Robinson in there. That's how heavily he's being recruited right now by the University of Georgia.
Is it fair to say that, and I don't want to make a wrong comparison, but is it fair to say that Robinson is the Micaiah Tung of the 2020 class?
No, I would say bigger, Brandon. I would say I had an interesting scouting assessment about Justin Robinson. And remember, I think the dabbles with DB scouting is because he played cornerback and played it very well for a state championship team this year at Eagles Landing Christian Academy. But I think when you look at Justin Robinson, it's not outlandish to look at him and start sorting and sifting through names in your scouting database a little bit in the back of your brain. And to me, and I've heard multiple people tell me that this is kind of what Calvin Johnson looked like when he was a high school football player.
Wow. My goodness, that's quite a comparison. That'll get some head spinning when you start thinking about that. That's really good stuff. This may, to your opinion, not be quite as good, but I feel like, listen, when it's out there, we got to talk about it. You may not want to talk about this, but there was a forum post, forum.dognation.com this week, some Georgia fans expressing some concern that five-star defensive end, nation's number one player, I guess, Brian Brzee, that his girlfriend may be going to Clemson. Now, Jeff, we don't really talk about girlfriends around here a lot, but just bigger picture when it comes to stuff like this, how much should fans expect that to factor into a recruit's decision? I don't mean for you to get into the personal life of Brzee and, you know, his significant other necessarily, but when it comes to these kinds of college decisions, how much of that kind of stuff is worth paying attention to? I mean, for instance, when Brzee brings a lot of folks to a UGA visit, you definitely seem to take note of that. If it is indeed true, as our forum suggested, that Brzee's girlfriend's going to Clemson, is that a reason for Dog fans to be worried?
Oh, man, Brandon, I'm going to have to chuckle a little bit on this one. This might be some true Dog Nation TMZ moments right here for Brzee a little bit. Let me try and hold my laugh in for a second. Okay, here's what I'll say. I think the most important women in any recruit's process would be his mother, also his sister. And in short, to keep my word soft and sweet on this topic, I don't know if girlfriends and female companionship are really going to be an issue for anyone, for any young male attending the University of Georgia. Let me just leave it at that. I just think that the University of Georgia will probably fare very well in that category because, believe it or not, Brandon, listen, this, I'm not going to try to break too much news here, but sometimes those long-term high school relationships, they don't last when someone goes off to college, especially to become a high-profile football player at an SEC school like the University of Georgia. Just saying, man.
That is certainly fair, and here's the thing you got to understand, Jeff. I'm a man of the people. If the people are talking about this, I feel like it's my obligation to go to the to our top source here, the expert, and find out what he has to say about it. That's just what the job entails from time to time, right?
I don't know about that. I mean, first of all, no one even really knows if she's going to Clemson or not. I haven't looked on five-star girlfriend.com's and where they're leaning. I don't know. Somebody's probably got some Zapruder film or magic bullet conspiracy theory that she's been offered a full cheerleading scholarship to somewhere and yada yada yada. The shadiness of all that. We're just gonna keep it real and focus on Brian and the five stars and not the five-star girlfriends for right now.
That is certainly fair enough. And speaking of five stars, or in this case, former five star. I was fascinated with what you wrote at Dog Nation this week about what Zamir White's high school coach had to say about his future. And, Jeff, you know this is one of those things where we can all have expert opinions, or at least – I guess more like educated guesses. That's probably the best way to say it, about what White may be coming off of two ACLs, different knees, in consecutive years. So I don't know that any of us really know how this is going to play out, but certainly for my audience, they do want to believe that there is still a good chance that White can be the guy that we saw on that film going back to Scotland County up in North Carolina back during his senior season of 2018. And it sounds like some of the folks closest to White still feel like that's very much a possibility. I want people to read this story at DogNation.com, so please don't give the whole story away here. But can you give us a little taste of kind of why there are maybe some reasons to feel good about Zamir White coming back off an injury in his second year at UGA here in 2019?
Yeah, sure. I think one of the things I tried not to do with that story is everybody has this sense of do not break until the SEC championship game with Zamir White. Everybody wants to be very careful with Zamir, and naturally so in terms of him coming back. But I want to talk about two things about that story. Number one, it was a very candid and revealing interview because it really touched a lot of bases about what Zamir could be like at 230, 235, the mental aspects of his recovery, just how this young man deserves to excel on the college stage. And, you know, listen, I didn't bring the names in there, but the high school coach, I thought it was very interesting that he mentioned both Bo Jackson and Herschel Walker with comparisons to Zamir White. I think three or four things to think about really quickly here with Zamir is his own high school coach said the following. He said, think about this for a second. Zamir never had a six-inch scar. It was just two ACL tears. And I know that's a weird and interesting sentence, but it's just two ACL tears. These were done arthroscopically. And I think, to me, how a guy like Adrian Peterson or how a guy like Todd Gurley or how a guy like Nick Chubb bounces back from knee injuries, and a lot of those guys are going to be have been taken care of by one Georgia director of sports medicine, Ron Corson. But a lot of the reasons why that happens is twofold. Number one, they have innate physical DNA and ability. They're just incredible athletes. They can bounce back quicker. Call it genetics, what you will. But the second component there, I think that it's a very strong component, is just the mental fortitude, the grind, the willingness, the perseverance to go through any obstacle or any adversity. I think Zamir has that in spades. I think his head coach displayed that very well. And, you know, the other thing for Zamir is I thought that some of that reporting there allowed folks to see some maybe a human side of Zamir a little bit, where he did go through some dark time for a little bit with this second session of rehab. And perhaps maybe the most encouraging thing was, as Coach Bailey pointed out, he's seen him carry the ball more than even his mama has. Think about this for a second. Knee A is going to be almost about 20, 22 months in recovery from surgery from when that injury happened in November 17th, 2017. Never forget that day. And then the second knee, which was operated on in August of 2018, going to be another almost 10, 12, 11 months in surgery on that one as well when the 2019 season rolls around. So that's a good base for recovery on both knees. And he really just thinks that's going to lead to really good things for Zamir, and maybe that all this stuff happens for a reason. He's a very faith-based coach. But since you talked about Brian Brucey, let me go off the road a little bit for here with the story. There was a poster who said something that I swear it sounds like something that came out of your mouth. he said if Zamir comes back to be the guy he is on this high school film, he said, I'm going to have a hard problem being anything but an obnoxious Georgia fan. And I'm paraphrasing this, but so I even said something like, oh my gosh, can you imagine what Brandon would be like? For example, let's say Zamir does bounce all the way back and becomes another Gurley at Georgia. I think it's going to be very hard for Brandon Adams to be a Davin Bellamy.
Humble yourself.
Humble yourself. Daily on his Dog Nation forum every day, if Zamir bounces back pretty close are even better than himself on all those films.
Now, Jeff, you're not suggesting that Georgia fans would ever be obnoxious. Surely not. Georgia fans are known for their quiet, demure behavior. They're not known for ever being loud or boastful or anything like that, right?
Can you imagine what it would have been like for Georgia and Todd Gurley to run behind Sam Pittman's line right now with 4 to 6 future NFL first, second, third round draft picks in front of him, clearing the way? I mean, that's the stuff of many a happy Dog Nation Daily moment, I might imagine.
Let me do one more thing before we let you go, and I was glad that you wrote this week. Obviously, you've got some good stuff with BJ Ojulari at DogNation.com. People should check that out. We'll probably talk about that next week. I wanted to focus in on the other thing that you wrote about the other Ojulari, and that's Aziz Ojulari. Now, when you watch Aziz in the Sugar Bowl coming off his own injury and seeing what he does there, Jeff, I mean, he may be. We throw words like underrated or overlooked around a lot. Ojulari really does kind of get lost in the fold a little bit because Georgia has recruited that outside linebacker position so well, and he was dealing with an injury for a while, and so it's kind of out of sight, out of mind in some respects. But let's not forget, when you talk about big-time breakout guys and who may be getting to the quarterback and who may be making a bunch of money for themselves, let's not exclude Aziz Ojulari from that conversation, right?
I think the most obvious thing I said on your show today, Brandon, was that sometimes dudes break up with their high school girlfriend before they get to college or when they're at college. The second most obvious thing I'll say is this. Georgia has recruited extremely well at outside linebacker, so much that you might look there and you might think Britton Cox is going to be a strong side defensive end, maybe long term. What about Aziz Ojulari is a strong side defensive end as well? All I know is this, Brandon. I really think, and I warm to this topic every week or so, maybe every month or so, is out of all those names, Adam Anderson, Britton Cox, Jermaine Johnson, Nolan Smith, Robert Beal, Walter Grant, Aziz Ojulari, I think that young man Ojulari is going to move up higher than some of those higher-rated 4 and 5 stars amongst that group. And you're going to see Aziz Ojulari playing a whole lot for the University of Georgia.
Hey, Jeff, in about 30 seconds here, and I don't want to take too much of your time, any little brief preview of what's to come for Georgia visitors this weekend you want to throw out there for us? Like I said, I don't want to take too much of your time, but you want to whet our appetites at all here?
Well, I know everybody wants to know about the weekend, and I know obviously the Mecale Sherman visit is expected for this weekend. There's a couple of big offensive linemen coming in as well. But one thing I want to do, and I know I posted it last night in the wake of kind of that Zamir story on the site, but I just, you know, we're supposed to do the same job every day. I mean, Brandon, imagine if you could do your job from, I don't know, a beach chair overlooking a beautiful vista somewhere in Savannah or something like that.
But sure.
I wrote a different kind of recruiting story. I just kind of said, you know what? I can do this with some pieces that young man gave me in the interview. And that's Mitchell Mabes, the nation's number 3 offensive guard. Jamari Salyer befriended him on his visit over the past weekend. Mabes already knows he just went to Georgia and already knows he'll be back for G-Day. But I think he checks off just about every criteria that Sam Pittman would want for an offensive lineman in his program. And I kind of put it through the blender and try to tell a different side of recruiting story. So maybe a little laughs in there too, but if anybody wanted to read a different type of visit update story, go check out that one on Mitchell Mabes.
Hey, good stuff, Jeff. We hope you have a great weekend. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you at DogNation.com. Thanks for being here on a Dog Nation Daily, and I hope you have a great time.
Yes, sir, Brandon. Be well.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So how about Jeff a couple minutes ago? You know, I wanted to make sure you were aware of some of the stuff that Justin Robinson had to say, almost from this perspective of, hey, don't let this one slip through the cracks. This may be kind of an interesting name to keep an eye on. And then Jeff goes out and gives you a Calvin Johnson comparison. That's quite a statement there, so much so that it stops the music. Yeah, I mean, listen, kind of an interesting comparison for Jeff and Justin Robinson, of course. Any kind of like bold print hot take like that, so they're going to get my attention. So good stuff from Jeff Sintel on that. We've got an interesting SEC through to come up in a moment, and we'll also give away a Road to Atlanta t-shirt and hear from Elijah Holyfield before we're done. Before that, though, let me remind you about my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Whether you've got a cracked foundation, a wet basement, or a damp crawl space, Engineered Solutions of Georgia are the ones you want to trust. You can have one of their qualified professionals come out to your house. They'll give it a look over, and they'll tell you exactly what you need to do. The good news is this may all sound like really scary and overwhelming, but it's actually not. They know exactly what needs to be done, and they'll get you back up the way you need to be in really no time. One of the things that makes them so effective is they're the only ones that we know of that's got a full-time engineer on staff. That's why they're the only ones that Dog Nation would recommend. So if you're dealing with any of this kind of stuff, foundation repair, basement waterproofing, crawl space encapsulation, anything of that variety, just simply reach out to Engineered Solutions of Georgia by giving them a call at 678-ESOG-NOW. That's 678-ESOG-NOW. All right. So I will acknowledge there is a chance that this is like ultimate Gator hater stuff, that maybe I just have no ability to see this clearly. But I sort of feel like I'm being more objective than that. And I feel like that I'm right about this. There is a really good chance, been a lot of reports on this in the last 24 hours, that Florida and Miami, it's kind of cool those two teams are playing again. Florida's ducked Miami for decades. It's kind of cool they're about to play again. But what to me is not cool is they're supposedly going to move the game up from what was supposed to be played, which is like the traditional week one, and moving it to what we kind of think of as week zero, the week before that, which this year is like August 24th or something along those lines. I find this to be, and I hate to use such a strong word, but I don't think it's too strong of a word to use. I find this to be reprehensible, and I'll tell you why. For a lot of people who, if you're a Florida fan or a Miami fan, you've got this game circled on your calendar. You've got, this is a neutral side game. You've got travel plans. You've got a lot you're doing to get ready for this. And then just a couple months before the game to say, oh, yeah, by the way, I know you plan to be in so-and-so. I don't even know what city it's being played in. But so-and-so plays for so-and-so week. It's actually going to be a week early because ESPN told us they would give us $9 to move it up. I find this to be just distasteful. And ESPN says, oh, this is a one-time thing to celebrate the 150 years of college football. This ain't no one-time thing. If this works, they're going to start trying to do this year after year where you put a marquee game even earlier than normal. In this case, that kind of week zero spot where I think last year it was Hawaii and Colorado State. And obviously the TV folks say, why would you play Hawaii, Colorado State when you can play Miami and Florida? Now, I'll also grant the opposite of this, that why would me, a college football lover, not love an expanded college football calendar? And I guess in a roundabout way, I wouldn't mind it if it was sort of scheduled that way to begin with. But to encroach on that final week of summer where a lot of folks still have vacations planned and they're trying to do that family thing one more time before they really lock in for the college football season, to me this is just too short notice and it's done for all the wrong reasons of making a couple of extra dollars. I think this is not doing right by the fans. I'll watch the game. There's no doubt about that. And I think it could be a very interesting game to seeing if Florida's could be as good as their offseason hype suggests they're going to be. Spoiler alert, they won't be. But something about this just kind of bothers me. You can reach out to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily to let me know if I'm right or wrong about that. I started the show by talking about the fastest players in college football according to Bleacher Report. Honesty compels me to admit, while I make a big deal about Demetrius Robertson being on the list, the two guys at the top of the list were both Auburn guys. And the one in particular I want to focus in on is Anthony Schwartz, the receiver who is just a blazing speedster. I don't know a lot about track and field and stuff like that, but my understanding is that Schwartz is pretty close to a world-class sprinter. And for Gus Malzahn, who is going to call the plays this year at Auburn and who's going to try to reboot that Auburn offense, really to reboot the Auburn program, you start to wonder if a player like Schwartz could become a real weapon for him. A lot of these guys that are as fast as Schwartz end up being almost like gimmicks. They're sprinters. They're not really football players. Get the impression that Schwartz might be a little different than that. That may be worth paying attention to. And I tell you what, we're going to talk about some combine stuff, but we'll push that off for right now. And we'll just say, for now, that's your SEC through. Because what people really want to talk about instead is our Road to Atlanta t-shirts. Now, let me reset this and explain what this is. And I thought yesterday's giveaway went really well. The Road to Atlanta t-shirt, I think, is the coolest t-shirt we've ever done. And we were supposed to give these away last December, and because of the rain and the just the nature of our tailgate really kind of getting washed out that day, we didn't get to give these t-shirts away. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that I think the t-shirt design is one of the coolest that we've done. I was really disappointed we didn't give those out that day because for the most part, the tailgate just kind of got rained out. But it all works out for a reason, because I feel like Road to Atlanta, I feel like that idea is something that we around here at Dog Nation Daily need to really get behind. It's the kind of thing that we really want to rally around. You know, Georgia's got its idea of doing more this year and leaving no doubt and having a better feeling at the end of the SEC championship game or at the end of the postseason than you had going into it. And we're obviously all behind that there. And our way of saying that is Road to Atlanta. We think Georgia can be there at the beginning of December. We think Georgia can be back there again at the end of December. And we think that the road to a national championship for Georgia this year obviously goes through Atlanta. So in honor of all of that, and just because we like having a good time, we're giving away these Road to Atlanta t-shirts. Now, the email address you need to remember, because we're going to give another one away today, is dndtshirts@gmail.com. dndtshirts@gmail.com. We were going to do something different than the YouTube today, so I tell you what, we'll leave that for now, but we're going to do something different than just YouTube every day. So what we did this yesterday was the YouTube deal. Since that's what it says on the screen right now, we'll do that again today, but we are going to do a little different stuff. You know, I've been challenged with kind of, you know, raising some of the awareness around Dog Nation, a couple of different things. And so my thought on stuff like that is, let's try to find a way to make it fun. Let's try to find a way to make it enjoyable for the audience. And so one of the things that we're going to work on is growing our YouTube subscriber base, and giving away t-shirts is a way to do that. It's just kind of a way to make that fun. So we asked for that yesterday. That's on the screen now. So we'll ask for the same thing for today's drawing, which we'll announce on Monday. Simply show us a screenshot of you being subscribed to our Dog Nation YouTube page. Find Dog Nation on YouTube. Subscribe if you haven't, or if you're already a subscriber, just send us proof to the website, to the email address, DND, that stands for Dog Nation Daily, dndtshirts@gmail.com, and we will do just that. By the way, yesterday, our winner, who very simply just sent that email, showed the picture, it was obvious that he was subscribed to the Dog Nation YouTube page. We put all the names in the hat. We drew one out. Congratulations to Mike Hackley for being a winner. Mike Hackley, you are the Road to Atlanta t-shirt winner. I'll be reaching out to you via the email address you sent to me, and we'll talk to you about how we can get in touch and give you one of these Road to Atlanta t-shirts. So congratulations on that. And if you'd like to be a winner for today's drawing, simply send the email dndtshirts@gmail.com. Show us a screen grab or a pic of you. Subscribe to our Dog Nation YouTube page, and we will give it away just like that and announce the winner on Monday. Thanks for great participation in this. We had a huge, huge response yesterday. So we'll keep doing this as long as supplies last. Really fun stuff with that. And Mike Hackley, congratulations to you for being the winner. Before we go here today on this Friday, I do want to kind of get back to the football stuff. Y'all, please pay close attention to our buddy Mike Griffith, who is in Indianapolis doing NFL Combine work. He's kind of looking at this from the Georgia perspective. Our friends from the AJC are also there. D. Orlando Ledbetter, he's there covering all of this from the Atlanta Falcons and NFL perspective. So really good stuff at AJC.com and DogNation.com with the NFL Combine. Yesterday, Mike also caught up with Georgia running back Elijah Holyfield, who, as you're probably not surprised to see, showed out in the bench press reps yesterday, third most reps of any running back at the NFL Combine yesterday. Dog fans love seeing that. It's a little bittersweet, though, from a certain standpoint, because a lot of Georgia fans were hoping to see more of that strength from Holyfield in a Georgia uniform one more time in 2019. For Holyfield, ultimately, though, moving on to the NFL was, in his mind, the right decision for him. And he talked to Mike Griffith yesterday about really why that is and what the next phase of Holyfield's life at the pro level is going to be all about. Here's Elijah Holyfield.
My teammates, I really didn't want to leave them. I didn't want to leave Georgia on that note. I have a lot of good friends still on the team, and that's not really the way I wanted to go out. But I had to do what was best for me and kind of put everything else aside.
So Holyfield won't be a player for Georgia next season, but he'll still be a valuable asset to the program. I do believe he's going to make a name for himself at the NFL Combine this week, and I think that could work out to the tune of maybe a better draft position in April than some people expect, and another one of these Georgia running backs who goes on to the NFL and carries on that running back university legacy. He was asked yesterday, is that extra pressure knowing there have been good Georgia running backs in the NFL? And I loved Holyfield's answer of, hey, listen, I've been trying to live up to a name my entire life. Obviously, the son of the former champion of the world, Evander Holyfield, and so being a part of the RBU legacy, no new thing for him. That was really good stuff. So best of luck to Holyfield and all the UGA guys at the Combine over the course of the next couple days. And enjoy Mike Griffin's coverage of all that at DogNation.com. Speaking of enjoying things, there's nothing for us more enjoyable than thinking about how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have had anything to brag about when it comes to the Georgia Bulldogs. Around here, we believe that good Georgia fans are Gator haters. We think Florida is supposed to be Georgia's number one rival. Around here, it is Georgia's number one rival. And with that in mind, 853 days. That's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. We'll watch that number climb as part of our Gator Hater Updater right here on Dog Nation Daily. And then one more tiny thing to squeeze in before we're done. I saw an interesting thing at 24/7 Sports today, Jake Rowe reporting. Some rumors out there about some more non-conference series for Georgia. This may be worth paying attention to in the time to come. Florida State being kicked around. Interesting reporting from Jake on that, and we'll follow that and see where it goes. We'll see you Monday right here on Dog Nation Daily.